my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. He is Lord. And, you know, I got to start this word out with a little bit of an apology because, you know, God's been stirring this, you know, what we're going to talk about a little bit today, probably in my heart for at least a couple of days, and I've sat on this thing, and let me tell you something, don't ever sit on something that God is giving you to do or something that He's giving you to say. We want to be in step with Him. We don't want to be like the horse that runs ahead or the donkey that is being pulled behind. And we did talk about the donkey last time a little bit. You know, you want to be in perfect step with Him at all times. And, you know, one of the pieces of being, you know, alive and part of the body and part of living in connection with the head is you don't want to be, you know, like, have you ever, you know, that when you have a foot that's fallen asleep or, you know, you've kind of sat on something, you know, wrong, or you sat on your hand or something and just like, and all of a sudden that limb is asleep and it takes a while to get it to get going again, you know, for the blood to start circulating in that part of your body and to get it to, you know, respond to the messages of the head. You don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that. We want to be alive and quick and responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So when God speaks to you about something, you want to be quick to respond to that. And you don't want to hold on to things that He is desiring to do. So, you know, my apologies in that area, because that's something too that, you know, sometimes some of the things that God gives us to do and to say in and of ourselves, you know, apart from His Spirit, the way that we would think in our natural minds would be that this is a bit rough. So, but anyways, well, let's just go for it, because that's the way that we know how to do. So go, 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer, of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Okay, praise God. Now, you know, with what we're in right now. And we live in an incredible, incredible, incredible time. Around the world, there is so much going on, so much taking place. And amidst all that's going on and taking place, God is working out His plans and purposes, and God is carrying on with those that are walking with Him into some incredible things. But nonetheless, realize the times that we live in. And in verse 1 it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff out there. And there's a lot of things that are out there that come from all sorts of different sources. And when the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Holy Spirit also functions as a filter for you and quickens you to when something is truth and when something is a lie. And this is part of your individual, personal, living, walking relationship with God, you and Him. And when you've set your heart on things above, when you've set your heart on Him, when you've set your heart to be in connection with Him for truth, absolute truth, 100% truth, and you will stand for nothing less, something changes in you. And then when something is not like that, when it comes your way, you won't accept it. Something inside of you grates in your spirit when you hear a lie. Something inside of you grates inside, no matter how well it's packaged, no matter how creatively it's put together, when you hear a lie, when you hear a deception, something inside of you goes off and clicks, and then you say, okay, well, that is not right. That is not real. I can't be a part of that. I can't give my consent to that. Why? Because you have set yourself on a track for truth. But when people depart from the faith, and when they give heed to seducing spirits and to the doctrines of devils, the way that people are pulled away is because inside of them, instead of setting their face, their volition, their spirit, their intention, their entire being towards following Christ, towards following truth, the way, the truth, the life, light, instead of putting their all into that direction, because there is that place that they have held on to, whatever it is, that creeps up on them later down the line, and something will come to them along those lines that will grab onto that hook that's in their soul and will take them in another direction, that will seduce them, that will bring them into something that they never, you know, if they had to actually stop and think about it, even at an earlier stage, they would probably be horrified at where they end up. And yet, that is a gradual process. See, the enemy of your soul, he will take time. You know, Satan and his dominions and his powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places that work with him, they will take years, decades, sometimes even centuries to accomplish a particular objective. And even in your own life, you know, the enemy of your soul will take time to work on you, to seduce you, to destroy you, to oppress you. He will take time in doing that. So when people fall away from that which is true and that which is real, realize that that does happen. But you, my brother and sister, you have to stand for truth. You have to stand for what's real. You have to stand for what's right. You have to make that commitment in your heart each and every moment of each and every day that you want truth more than you want anything, that you want Christ more than you want anything else in this life and in this world. And if that means whatever that means, you know, to you personally, professionally, in every other area of your life, whatever it means, it doesn't matter because you know what you have. You have that pearl of great price, which is Christ Jesus. And you will not release that or relinquish that for anything. So just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar, they said, you know, O king, we don't have to be careful in answering you according to this matter. You know, as for the thing that you've set up, we're not going to bow. We're not going that way. We do not want that. Because when it comes to this area where we have choice, and it is a God-given choice to every person on this planet and in this life, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and those that would walk with me and those that would be, you know, under the responsibility that God has given, we will serve the Lord. We will follow truth. We will speak truth. We will speak and we will do and we will walk out this whole thing with Christ. As He leads, we will follow. But in this situation, realize that there are those who, in verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. Now, hypocrisy. Saying one thing, doing another. Hypocrisy. living in a lie and in a deception, and going forward in that, you know, and having their consciences seared. You know, it is possible, and it's incredible to me when you see a person with a seared conscience, in that they can see things that are going on and they can justify the most horrendous acts, the most depraved acts against their fellow human beings. And they've created in themselves a mental system to even validate some of the greatest deceptions and some of the greatest atrocities ever known to mankind. But they can create that in themselves, a justification for it, you know, and because they have a seared conscience. Let me give you an example. Okay, so recently now it's actually going mainstream now, which is quite incredible, you know, and that, this is, thank you Lord for that, but it's going mainstream, where, you know, there was an interview that went on C-SPAN, and with a representative for over 2,200 architects and engineers that, you know, wanted to pursue truth around what happened on September 11, 2001, particularly with the collapse of building number 7 in the World Trade Center, which was not touched by any airplanes. And there was 3 buildings in that complex that fell under the middle of whatever the events were that transpired that day. And here you have, you know, a very credible person representing over 2,000 credible people, putting their professional credibility on the line for the sake of bringing truth to a particular situation. And, you know, as you go through and examine the evidence, any sane, logical person that is, once they're exposed to the evidence, realize the scale and the gravity of the fact that what was presented to the public is not the truth behind what really happened and transpired. And what really happened and transpired involved evidence of a controlled demolition, which from that spans on into a whole host of other implications around, you know, who had access, who would have done that, who would have controlled the media, who is controlled in the media to be able to push forward a different story. So all of those other pieces that are the result, when truth comes in, everything changes. When truth comes in, it shakes things up. Now, here's the thing. That information is there and it's going forward in a very credible, very professional way. And it is beyond the ability of anyone to refute. And now this is, 13, 14 years after the fact. But it is there, and this truth is not going to go away. Now, what is the end result of that, though? Here's the thing. When you're committed to truth, when the truth is made known, you can go with that, and you can live like that. But when you've committed to the lie, when you've committed to an agenda, when you've committed yourself to a particular course of action, or a political party, or whatever, then you have your ego involved, and you have a vested interest in the outcome. And then when truth is known, what happens is people try to destroy that truth because the truth is inconvenient. The truth exposes the lie. The truth exposes the deception. The truth exposes that they went the wrong way. And sometimes people are embarrassed or ashamed. And rather than coming into the light and letting their deeds be made known and repenting and being made right with God, instead they want to destroy the truth, put out the truth, put out the light, because they don't want to deal with the consequences of their actions. They don't want to take responsibility for the fact that they were deceived, that they were lied to, that they became part of the lie. One of the reasons that Paul, who was earlier Saul, one of the reasons that it took him, several years on the backside of the desert after he had his Damascus Road experience and the revelation of who Christ Jesus was, when he fell to the ground, saw a light from heaven, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus Christ whom thou art persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You're not going to win this. You're going the wrong way, Saul. And when he went through that experience, it fried his brain, because he who thought he was on the right side, he who thought he was doing the will of God, found out that he was in fact persecuting the very God that he thought that he was serving. He thought he was going after the very followers of the living God that he thought he was doing a service unto God. But in fact, he was doing the will of the devil. And it traumatized him when he realized that he was going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, serving the wrong God. But in Acts 26, it talks about, and it says there very clearly, that God in his great mercy took him from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. But Paul, he was mentally fried for about 3 years before he could finally line everything up and understand that which was real and that which was true. And he had to go to the backside of the desert of Damascus to understand and put all these things together, because he had believed a lie. He had gone the wrong way. He had believed a lie. And in so doing, he had destroyed not just his own self for those many years, but he destroyed the lives of many, many other people. He had people murdered because of his commitment to a lie. Now, here's the thing. Paul, he thought he was doing the right thing, but then when he found out the truth, he changed. He repented. He got right with God. And God blessed him and God honored him. But if he knew the truth and he turned his back on it, now he's in a whole different state. See, the true Satanist is the one that knows the truth and still rejects it, knows what's real and still chooses the other way, chooses to turn their back on God despite the fact that the truth is made known to them. There are those that are out there that they've gone the wrong way, but they did it in ignorance. And once the truth was made known to them, they changed, they repented. You know, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. There are many, many, many in this world that have been taken advantage of by the lies and the deception and the limited options that they were given. They didn't know there was another way. We make the truth known because God gives us the power, the ability, the resource, the Spirit of the living God quickening and enabling us to make that known. But once somebody knows, now you make a decision. You choose. You exercise that free will. And do you choose light? Do you choose truth? Do you choose to walk with Christ? Or do you choose to stay in the lie? Do you choose to stay in the deception? And in so doing, go away sad. Or do you choose to try to block it out? Here's the thing. If you block out or kill or destroy the people of God, it doesn't take away that which is real or the truth. And you do so to your own destruction, to your own hurt. No one gets away with anything, my brothers and sisters. No one does. But they add sins to their soul. They add eternal consequence in this temporal limited life. Do you think there is anyone in this world that can do what they do and not stand before the living God and give an account of their life to Him? What do you think the murderer or the rapist or the child abuser or the child molester has to say when he or she stands before the all-powerful King of Kings, who is light, is love, is truth, and has their eternal soul in their hand, and they have no moves. They can't get away. They have zero people they can call. There is no phone call they can make. There is no favor they can cash in. There's no system to back them up. It is just them standing before Him in the judgment. What do you say? What do you do? What do you think the person that was an enabler for the same? A person that carried out their orders. What does he say? What does he do? See, here's the thing. There's people that have, you know, set up for themselves teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. So they've believed that, you know, they've surrounded themselves with people with yes men that will validate their worldly course of action. And a lot of these ones are just like, oh yeah, if you just get up and pray this prayer and everything's good, everything's fine, just keep going with your path in the world. No, what are you talking about? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Do you obey him? If you don't obey him, you don't love him. Are you following him? Is he your Lord? Jesus said, there will be many that come to me on that day in Matthew chapter 7 and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? Didn't we do all these great works? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all these miracles? And he say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. We were never one. We were never one. You are designed to be one with the Spirit of the living God. Right now, no separation from Him at this very moment. You were designed to walk out this life as an eternal being in step with Him and to live out your time and your existence according to the plan and the purpose of God, accomplishing that which He has for you in this life, in this world, and then to transition from this life into the next, into what God has for you from this stage forward. even while you simultaneously exist as an eternal being. You know, there's so much more going on than just this life. But as we're talking about this dimension and what we're surrounded by, realize that there are those that have given themselves over to the world and have been snagged by that system. And the purpose of much of what they give themselves over to is power and control. That's what they want. They want to control and they want power. They want the ability to manipulate, to control, to lord over others. And here's the thing. You are no one's victim. Take responsibility for your life. Take responsibility for your choices. Take responsibility for where you are every moment of every day. You make choice. You make decision. You know, there's something inside of people that wants to have somebody tell them what to do. And then they want to blame that person after they've told them what to do. They just want to carry on that pattern for their whole lives. Don't be part of that. God has created you as a free will agent, representative of Him in the earth, with conscious thought, the ability to make choices and decisions. And part of growing up is taking responsibility for the choices and the decisions that you make. Realize that when you are in Christ Jesus, when you are consummated with Him, everything changes. How you relate to life changes. You're not just surviving and scraping by. That's what the world will set people up for that. Listen, my brothers and sisters out there, if you are in any kind of debt, get out of it. Work hard to pay it and get out of it. Be free. Do not be enslaved by the cunning and craftiness of men. Do not be set up. Be free. Live free. Work towards these things. But realize that a lot of these things are traps that are set for you, that are designed to snare you so that you can be maneuvered and manipulated and controlled. But God wants you free. And realize that, you know, that there are those that are around you that do not have your best interest at heart. There are those that are around you that have set themselves and aligned themselves with the enemy of your soul. And in so doing, you know, they're not your friends. But you got to call them out. You got to call them out. For example, let's call some things out. When the U.S. invaded Iraq and Afghanistan, now it has become painfully clear to the entire world, based on the evidence and the facts, and that which are irrefutable with anyone that looks into it and looks and searches and digs for truth and is not a mind-controlled robot or a useful idiot. Anyone that's actually looked into it themselves can see and can determine that the reasons that were given for the attacking of these other countries were false pretexts and lies and deceptions. Now, that being the case, in this country, in the United States, who were the quote-unquote spiritual authorities of the land that gave a pass to those actions at the time? Who were the ones that stood up there and said, they speak for God in this nation, and they turned a blind eye to the actions and the choices and the decisions? They sided with the lie. They sided with deception. There was no prophetic utterance. There was no expression of truth. There was no question. It was just a lie. Who were these people? Where are they today? Where is the accountability? You see, the truth is inconvenient. For those in the world that want to go a particular way, the truth is inconvenient. But without the truth, you swirl in a lie all the way to your own destruction and the destruction of everything around you, the destruction of everything that you love, everything that you care about, is all destroyed when you side with a lie. 2 Timothy chapter 3, jumping forward one book, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Turn away. Turn away, my brothers and sisters. Turn away from that which is a lie. Turn away from that which is a deception. Turn away from that which is not real. Listen, Billy Graham gave a pass to President Bush to go into Iraq and Afghanistan. This day you know that that was a lie. This day you know that was a deception. This day you know that over 1 million people were murdered as a result of those actions. Turn away! Realize it's a business. Maybe there was some point in time where he was on that right track, maybe, I don't know. That's between him and God. But you see the manifestation of those actions. You see the destruction that was resulting from siding with a lie. Turn away. You're responsible now. You're responsible. When you see the lies and the deceptions of people like a Rick Warren and a Saddleback, turn away. Look at what's happened. Look at the result of it. Look at the conditions of people's souls as a result of that deception being sown in. Turn away. Turn away. You cannot side with a lie and expect to then grow good fruit. It's not going to happen. Turn away. If you want truth, then you're going to want the whole truth. We're not politicians. We're seekers of truth. We're lovers of Christ. When you know the truth sets you free. Realize that all that is done out there in those mainstream veins, by and large, is for the purpose of manipulation, control, gathering a following. It's incredibly destructive to the soul, incredibly destructive to your own freedom, incredibly destructive to you receiving the abundant life that God intended for you. Do you want the abundant life that Jesus offered? Or would you prefer to live in the illusion and the deception all of your days of your life? And then just carry on from this, from one form of slavery into another. Is that what you want? Why do you listen? Why do you listen here if that's what you want? Why do you partake in that and then come over here? What is it that you really want? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that because you're going to find what you're looking for. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. You're going to receive what you ask for. You're going to find what you're looking for. And whatever door you're knocking on, whatever's behind that's going to open up. Be sure you're knocking on the right one. All right. We love you guys. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We love you guys. Talk to you soon.